So we're in Matthew 4. We're partway through the temptation of Christ, starting at verse 12. And that's page 968 in your Bibles. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has been dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is alive, that it's relevant for us today. And we pray that you would be speaking, that you'd be saying your words to us today and showing us how we can put into practice all those things which you have been teaching your church through centuries. And thank you that that's your desire as well as ours. Amen. So, transforming Reading, we begin by proclaiming the gospel. We need to have one clear voice, don't we, as Christians? If we're all shouting something slightly different, it gets confusing. But when we boil things down, our Christian message, the gospel itself, which Jesus commands his disciples, his 12 disciples then, and his disciples today to proclaim, is the simple truth, the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that God loves us. He came to live amongst us in order that he would know, that we would know how much he loves us. That we would know the truth of who God is and be able to live in his grace. That Jesus died on the cross in order to remove the rubbish that gets in the way. And that he rose again to bring us hope. Hope of an eternal home with him in heaven. These simple truths are the gospel. And yet they have a profound transforming effect on all those who choose to believe them to be true. And so we want to be united in our love for Jesus and our willingness to be obedient to him and to follow his example by living lives as whole communities, our life as a church together at New Hope, our life together as a church across Reading, and our individual lives that speak powerfully about that good news. So let's look a little bit more at the passage and about how Jesus did that, that we might learn how to do the same. Jesus had lived a fairly ordinary life up until the point he was 30. It was that age at which they became an independent man. Up until then, he was obliged to live and to work under his father in usually the industry that his father had done. So Jesus had grown up the first 30 years being a carpenter, living with his parents and with the rest of his family. But at 30, he began to pursue what the real purpose of his life was. He went to the River Jordan, was baptized by his cousin John. He spent 40 days being tempted by Satan in the desert. And then he comes and makes a new home for himself in Capernaum, a town on Lake Galilee. And he begins a new life where he's still being a carpenter. But the emphasis of his life has changed. He begins to preach a message much the same as John the Baptist had preached. And it was simple. His good news for people was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So that's basically it. That's the same message we need to see Reading transformed. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus was speaking all of this before he'd even appointed his 12 disciples. He'd been going into synagogues and teaching people. He'd been talking in the marketplace, in his business, in his industry, within the community. And then he took those 12 men and a few supportive women on a 3-year journey. That was his methodology. His good news was about friendship and conversation and prayer. And all of it revolving around a deeper understanding of God's love. In every conversation, whether it was a personal chat with one of his friends, whether it was a dinner invitation by an important person within the town, or a sermon to 5,000 hungry people, the whole of Jesus' teaching was centered on the kingdom of God and on the need for people simply to return to the Father's love for them. And what we see throughout the Gospels is that when people draw near to Jesus, when people hear the good news, everything and everyone is changed by it. Even if they choose not to believe, somehow they are still changed and transformed. So what it really means is that the gospel is about a heart transformation, a heart attitude transformation. That is the good news that Jesus came to bring the people then and asks his church, his body, to continue to proclaim. The word repent is a little bit harsh, isn't it? Mostly because of the way in which it's been used in recent history. But it literally means turn around. So Jesus is basically saying, turn around. Turn around and see God's love for you. Turn around. Change the way that you've been living. Seek God's kingdom. Seek heaven. Now, phrasing it that way helps us to understand. It wasn't the harshness of the word repent, which sounds very judgmental, but it was still a challenge. His words were not easy or simple or soft. His message was one of radical change. It was a call to sacrificial pursuit of God's love above everything else. He was ready to live it out as an example for the next 3 years. And he called his disciples to do the same, to leave behind their family, their business, their other things, in order to pursue the heavenly agenda. So the first question is, are we ready for ourselves? We can't proclaim the gospel. We can't be out there telling others the good news about Jesus if we are not ready in ourselves to turn around and be all about him. Jesus says, repent, turn around, be transformed into my likeness. Don't stay the same. Don't continue on the path that you've been traveling before. simply because it's easy, familiar, and comfortable. Choose the narrow way. Let a new way of living with Jesus at the center be the incredible way to change your perspective and your practice. Everything and anything is possible with God. We're the ones who put limits on what God can do in us and through us by our fears, by our sense of our own inadequacies. But that's not the perspective Jesus wants for us. The good news is that he sees in us far more than we could ever see in ourselves without his insight. Turn around in your self-perception. Jesus went on to explain in many, many ways, in many sermons, particularly the Sermon on the Mount is an edited combination of all of Jesus' teaching. But he went on to say, turn around and see the law in a different way. In Jesus' time, the law which God had given them in the Old Testament, the Torah, said that justice was served by punishment being fair and proportionate. Now, this was a good thing. God had put boundaries around revenge, which was a bit of a problem in the earliest times. So if you took somebody else's eye out, then they had the right to take your eye out in return, but only one eye, not both. This was just. It was fair. It was proportionate. It was the law by which the Jewish people lived. And that was understood across the board, many other similar things. But Jesus brought a transformation. He brought a new perspective. He brought good news. He says, turn around. Yes, justice is good, but mercy is greater. He says, when somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn and offer them the other. Instead of retaliating and saying, well, you hit me once, I now have the right to hit you back. Jesus says, turn and offer the other cheek. Jesus wants his people, his church, to be revolutionary by choosing mercy. Because choosing mercy, it is more powerful than any proportionate retaliation. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And because of that message, people flocked to hear his good news. It was radical. And it was a transformation that they knew was good and was godly. Is the church today known for our message of mercy? How can we, as God's people, trying to reflect the likeness of Christ, be champions of mercy? The good news that Jesus taught, his gospel said, turn around, my kingdom is about every single person, accessible to all. You need to have faith like little children. Now, this was a complete contrast to the teaching of the day. The understanding within the synagogue system was that those who had learning and wealth were the most blessed by God. They were the ones who would be first into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus went and he made friends with the people who were marginalised in society. Those people who were broken, flawed, sinful, weak. Those who were arrogant, those who were ignorant. All of these people became friends with Jesus. Because he wanted to say, turn around and see the door to the kingdom of heaven is open to all who will have the childlike faith to simply trust and believe and follow. How often we still today as the church fall into the trap of assuming that we need somehow to be good enough, to be perfect, to live lives that are absolutely exactly as God would have them to be so good that we have earned our place in heaven. Jesus says, turn around, see the doors open, have childlike faith and trust, and simply follow me. It's good news for us today. God's kingdom, the church, doesn't require a specific number of GCSEs or a number of years' experience on the job. It doesn't even require us to be especially good. It simply requires us to have a heart like a child. preaching of Jesus, as he proclaimed the good news, the gospel good news, was always accompanied by prayer and power. Wherever he went, Jesus spoke about God's love, and he healed the sick and freed those who suffered spiritual possession. The kingdom of God is therefore always about being liberated, being set free. Freedom is always good news. Those who had lived in the shadow of their illness or the culture of the day, blaming ill health or bad fortune on some kind of sin that was in their family history or hidden in their own lives. These people who had been pushed away from God, they were the ones that Jesus most wanted to know that God loved them and that his mercy was most deep for them. The good news is Jesus hasn't come then or now to condemn people or to reinforce the legal expectations of Torah. He has come to heal and to make whole inwardly and outwardly. All those who want to enter God's kingdom found their spiritual freedom first. Jesus always said, your sins are forgiven. He started with that because that was what people most needed to know. They most needed to hear that forgiveness was available to them. How much is God longing to bring good news into our lives and through us, good news into the lives of those around us? That new depths of spiritual and physical healing, of wholeness and freedom are still what the gospel is about. Can we be a church, a people, a united bunch of God's children in this place, in this town, who will speak to Reading that God's forgiveness is readily available to them? The gospel that we preach is still the same that Jesus spoke of. We continue to live in, speak it out, but live it out as well, with our words and with our deeds. Not because we've perfected it, not because we fully understand it, but because we know that Jesus himself is the best news anybody can receive. He, in relationship with people, has the eternal power to bring transformation to everything and everyone who will be open to him. That is the gospel that we need to proclaim. That is the good news. So how do we do it? In word and in deed. We don't need to overcomplicate the gospel, mistakenly thinking that we have to get all the theology and all the words right to have the answer to every single question anybody might have, even before we begin a conversation. Jesus never asked his followers to do that. In fact, he chose people who would befuddle their words, who would get it wrong. But through those 12 flawed men and a few significant women, let's not leave them out, he was able to bring transformation to the whole world. How much more can he do through us? We are more than 12 and a few invisible but significant women. So three things I think are really important for us as New Hope about how we put this into practice. The first thing is to focus on being ourselves. Jesus has not called us. His good news is not about turn around and change who you are. It is turn around and see who God has made you and how he wants you to be. And then be that most fully kingdom person in order that your whole life, filled with his presence and his love, will be the gospel for others, because they will see it. They will see you being the authentic you that God intended you to be. And that will be significant. That will be good news for people. We simply need to share the difference Jesus makes in our life, even if it makes us look a bit foolish. We simply need to be the kind of people who will try in our own best efforts, however flawed, to put into practice in our lives the values of God's kingdom. So that we choose mercy. So that we don't focus our energies on material things. So that we don't seek retribution by acts of love and grace and mercy. We, being ourselves, will be good news for those around us. Secondly, we need this childlike faith. We need to be individuals who will trust Jesus, even in the midst of our sufferings and struggles. Who will continue to be obedient to him, even when it's costly. So we as a community here at New Hope, we together trust God to sustain us, to guide us through navigating the murky waters of things that are difficult and unclear. We stand with one another. We pray with one another. We walk the journey together. We use our time, our money, and our love, our emotional energy, in order that the world would see the love of the Father God and of his Son Jesus Christ in our communal life together. Childlike faith, simple trust and obedience. And then we need to be people who pray. The good news of Jesus is real and brings transformation. Whether we see the powerful answers to our prayers or not, God is at work in them and through them. Good news looks like prayers being answered inwardly and outwardly. The kingdom of heaven is brought nearer. God is more able to do things the more we are passionate about him and our conversations with him. The more we listen in prayer, the more we will know what God is saying, and we can align ourselves with his will. And we will find our prayer lives and our prayer life as a church becoming more and more like Jesus was. People will be healed. Lives will be changed. So we need to be the kind of people that Jesus calls. And he says, come and follow me. Proclaim the good news. Proclaim the gospel in word and in deed. Leave behind our nets, whatever they may be, and become those who would fish for people. Now, it's important to recognize that the transformation in those disciples, the 12 and the invisible women, who were always there. Sorry, I don't mean to bang on about it. But it's true. That transformation took years. 3 years of being in the physical presence of Jesus Christ. And they still didn't really get it. They still were messing up at the end. So anytime we mess up, it is okay. Jesus' forgiveness and grace is readily available for us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, again, they didn't always get it right. It took years and years, the whole of the rest of their lives, unfolding God's plans and God's purposes. So let's not wait until we feel ready, because that's not Jesus' methodology. Let's not wait until we've got all the theology clear in our heads and a script that works and that is deep. Let's just be ourselves with childlike faith and passionate about prayer in order that we would be good news today for the people that we encounter. So that we would see God transforming Reading by our insignificant and sometimes invisible lives, but seeing his kingdom drawing near. Amen.